So we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a wonderful book that all of you should read eventually. There's a progression in this spiritual science, beginning with the Bhagavad Gita as it is, then the Nectar of Devotion, then Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the verses we will read today are from Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was the principal disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wrote many books on the science of devotional service, especially the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has rendered as the Nectar of Devotion, a summary study. And the verse I will read is very important. Srila Prabhupada quoted it often. And he paraphrased it in his letter to me on the occasion of my initiation. First we will recite a mantra that appears in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we will read the verse. So please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya. Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Text 151. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagya Vanajiva Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Latta Bija. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Please repeat. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all the universes, there are innumerable planets, and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets, in the air, on land, and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity, life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. So this was the case of me and many thousands of devotees who had the good fortune of meeting Srila Prabhupada and receiving the seed of the creeper of devotional service from him. And that same seed is being distributed now, as we shall discuss. I continue the purport. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if someone desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or good fortune comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as the living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a fortunate person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from material bondage. So one example that illustrates this principle is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva, as a young boy of 5 years, was playing on his father's lap. His father was the king. And Dhruva's stepmother, who was the favorite of the father, said, "You cannot play on the lap of the king. You cannot sit on the throne. You are not born from my womb." And the father was so attached to his wife that against his own heart's inner feelings, he rejected his son, Dhruva, out of deference to his favored co-wife's wishes. Now, Dhruva, being born in a royal family, a Kshatriya family, he had a bit of a Kshatriya nature, even though he was only 5 years old. So naturally, he felt very sorry and angry about what had happened, and he went to his mother. And told her what happened and asked what he could do. And she said, I really do not know what you can do because your father favors his other wife and I don't know what you can do. So, but Dhruva was a very determined young boy. And so when she said, "I cannot help you," he said, "Well, who can help me? I want my kingdom." And she said, "Well, I don't know, but God, maybe God can help you." Then Dhruva said, Where do I find God?" She said, "Well, many sages and saintly persons search for God in the jungles, in the forest. So maybe if you go to the forest, you can find God." So he went to the forest, left home at the age of 5, and in his own way was looking for God, looking in the bushes, looking behind the trees, turning over the logs, looking under the mushrooms. He was looking for God. But he was so sincere in his desire to find God that God within his heart wanted to help him fulfill his desire. And therefore, he sent his devotee, Narada Muni, to guide Dhruva. The Lord within the heart of Narada Muni inspired Narada Muni to go to the forest to Dhruva Maharaj to act as his spiritual master to guide him. So he went, and he first of all tested Dhruva. This is very important. As Srila Prabhupada says, one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. So he tested Dhruva to see how determined he was. But also there was truth to his words. Everything that a liberated soul, like Narada Muni says, is filled with truth. He said, "My dear boy, what brings you to the forest?" He told the story how his stepmother insulted him and his father rejected him and he was being deprived of his kingdom and he wanted his kingdom. So Narada said, "You're only 5 years old. You should go home. Now don't take it so seriously. You should go home and enjoy life as a child. Play and have fun with your friends. And when you're older and more mature, then you can come to the forest and look for God and think about these weighty matters." And Dhruva said, "You know, if you can help me find God, that will be very nice. But if you're going to tell me to go home, then you can go home." He was so determined. So then Narada understood, yeah, he's very serious, and I should guide him. So he gave him a mantra with the holy name of God, and he told him to chant the mantra. He gave other instructions. The spiritual master will give mantra, but along with the mantra, he will give other instructions that are favorable to chanting the mantra to full effect. And Dhruva followed every single instruction that Narada gave him to such a point that God came to see him. God came in the form of Vishnu. Krishna, in the form of Vishnu, descended and appeared before Dhruva. And Dhruva was overwhelmed with loving devotional ecstasy, seeing the Lord. He offered many beautiful prayers to the Lord. And in the end, the Lord asked him, "What can I do for you? I am prepared to offer you any benediction that you want." And Dhruva said, "I do not want any benediction. Swamin kritarthoshmi varam nayache. I do not want any benediction. I am completely satisfied." And the Lord said, "Well, what about your kingdom? You are so eager for your kingdom." And Dhruva replied, "That kingdom that I was seeking was like a piece of cut glass. And you are like a most precious diamond. So I'm millions of times more satisfied with you. I do not want any other benediction." So this is the power of devotional service, the power of strictly following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master, that one gets Krishna, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets the association of a bona fide spiritual master. And by the mercy of the spiritual master who trains the disciple in the methods of devotional service, the disciple is able to realize God, Krishna. And even if one comes with material desires, those desires can be purified or replaced by something better. Like Dhruva came with a material desire. He wanted his kingdom. He wanted to be vindicated. But when when he realized God, he understood that that kingdom was nothing compared to God. He had gotten something much more valuable. So one may come to devotional service with other motives besides to serve God and love him. But if one follows the process strictly, with great intensity, one will realize God, and then everything else is seen in its proper place. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamu udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yojeta purusha puram. That if one has no desires, sarvakama, or one is full of desires, or mokshakama, if one is desirous of liberation, tivrena bhakti yogena, if he follows the process of bhakti yoga, tivrena, this is the crucial word, tivrena, well, tivra is like the sun, very powerful. So if one follows the process of bhakti yoga with great intensity, one will realize the supreme goal, one will realize the supreme personality of Godhead. And that was shown in the case of Dhruva Maharaj. So Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Krishna is in the heart. He understands the sincere desire of the living entity, and if the living entity desires Krishna, Krishna sends a bona fide spiritual master to guide him so that he can realize Krishna, service to Krishna, and love for Krishna. We continue the purport. How one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Srila Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was born of a maid servant. Although he was not born into a prestigious position, his mother was fortunately engaged in rendering service to some Vaishnavas. When these Vaishnavas were resting during the Chaturmasya period, the boy Narada took the opportunity to engage in their service. Taking compassion upon the boy, the Vaishnavas offered him the remnants of their food. By serving these Vaishnavas and obeying their orders, the boy became the object of their sympathy. And by the Vaishnavas' unknown mercy, he gradually became a pure devotee. In the next life, he was Narada Muni, the most exalted of Vaishnavas and the most important guru and acharya of Vaishnavas. So the same Narada Muni who appeared as the spiritual master for Dhruva Maharaj in his previous life was born as the son of a maid servant who was fortunately engaged in serving Vaishnavas, sages, in the forest during the Chaturmasya period. And during that time, he got to associate with them, and he became the object of their mercy. We had a similar case in Juhu, Bombay, when we first came to the Juhu land. which became Hare Krishna land, there was a lady who was coming and doing service there, washing the pots. And she had a young boy. At the time, he was probably just 5 years old, maybe about the same age as Narada. And so because she was always at the temple washing the pots and utensils and cleaning and doing different jobs, so that boy was always associating with devotees, hearing the holy name, and he was also doing small acts of service. So time passed, and as he grew older, he learned from the devotees how to play mridanga. And he began to play the mridanga drum very nicely. And eventually, he became a devotee. And his mother also became a devotee. And they were initiated. He was too young to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada, so he was initiated by His Holiness Lokanath Swami. And whenever I would see him, I would think of the story of Narada, whose mother was engaged in menial service to the Vaishnavas, and her son, of course, he became Narada Muni, the most exalted guru and acharya for Vaishnavas. So, this is a very potent process. The association of Vaishnavas is very potent. If one is innocent and does not commit offenses. We read the next paragraph. Following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement, this phrase, the Krishna consciousness movement, can be read in two ways. Especially during Srila Prabhupada's presence, it meant him, but it also meant the larger Krishna consciousness movement, which is an extension of him. Following in the footsteps of Narada Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. Krishna's name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Krishna's form, the beautiful deities, and talks of Krishna in the scriptures and in the discussions of devotees. That is all coming in ways of coming in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. So many people come and take prasad, and they get great benefit by taking prasad. But those who are more fortunate, they become intimately related with the movement, not just coming and taking prasad and going, which is good. That is good. That will definitely help them. Or coming, seeing the deities, putting a little money in the box and going, or taking prasad and going. But if you become intimately related with the Krishna consciousness movement, you're very fortunate. So, if one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. As I was speaking about becoming intimately related with the movement and how one is fortunate, I was looking at some of the faces in the audience. And I detected, or at least imagined, on at least one or two of the faces that there was some doubt that this is that I'm going to become fortunate. Some people think if they become intimately related with this movement, they will become unfortunate. We had a very enthusiastic preacher in Bombay, in Juhu, named Mahaprabhu Das, who was a lawyer. He was very enthusiastic, and he would invite his friends and colleagues, practically anyone he knew or met, to come to the temple. And so many of them came and became intimately related with this movement and progressed in bhakti yoga. Became successful, as the purport says. But some would not come. They absolutely refused to come. Because they felt that if they came, they would eventually become intimately related with the movement and become unfortunate, materially. And he said, because I was saying, you know, well, can't you do this, can't you do that, like somehow or other just get them to come. And he said, I've tried everything. I've said, you just come to Govindas. Just take prasad. You don't have to go in the temple. You don't have to talk to anyone. Just come to the restaurant and take prasad. And they wouldn't do it because, as he put it, they said, they knew this is a one-way street. Once you enter that street, you can't turn back. There's only one way to go, and you have to keep going. So they were like determined not to take even the first step. So I guess we could say there's different perspectives on what being fortunate is and what being successful is. But certainly, if we evaluate the two definitions of success, material success, which is temporary, and spiritual success, which is eternal, there's no comparison. Because material success, whatever you have, is ultimately lost, if not before, at the time of death. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if you trade in shares, in the stock market, and you invest your money, and in the morning trading, the shares go up, you're like a multimillionaire. And then something happens, and at the end of the trading, the share falls, plummets, and you lose everything. Now, if that person feels very happy that for 3 hours I was a millionaire, Of course, in the end, I lost it all. Now I have nothing. But for 3 hours, I was a millionaire. Is that very intelligent? So we're like that. We're trying to amass so much. But at the end of the day, I'm going to lose it all. So what is that success? What is that success? It's not real success. But the success in spiritual life means you get Krishna, and not only is your relationship with Krishna eternal, it continues even after you leave the body, but it is much more satisfying than anything material, even than $1 million. As Dhruva Maharaj said, it's Krishna is like a precious diamond, and a kingdom is like an insignificant piece of cut glass. So if we actually analyze what is good fortune, what is success, definitely coming in touch with the Krishna consciousness movement, getting a bona fide spiritual master who can guide one to actually attain Krishna and love of Krishna, that is good fortune, real good fortune, and that is success in life. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna. And in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22:107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya, Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Kareya Udaya. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one awakens his dormant love for Krishna. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So it's in everyone, not just Indians or Hindus or Brahmins. It's in everyone. And Srila Prabhupada proved that practically by offering this seed, by giving the seed to anyone and everyone, and those who accepted it and watered it, the seed grew, and they have been practicing Krishna consciousness and have been successful. I'll just read a little bit more, and then we will end. This is the next verse, 152. Malihanya kare se bija aropana, shavana kirtana jale kare se chana. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener. Malihana. And sowing the seed in his heart. Se bija aropana. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravanam and kirtanam, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. So you get a seed, you plant it, then you have to water it. And what is the water? It is shravana kirtana jal. Chanting and hearing about Krishna, like what we're doing now. I am chanting or speaking about Krishna, and you are hearing. And briefly from the purport, To live with devotees or to live in a temple means to associate with the Shravana Kirtana process. After receiving the spiritual master's mercy, one must repeat his instructions. And this is called Shravana Kirtana, chanting and hearing. One who has properly heard from the spiritual master, one who has not properly heard from the spiritual master, or who does not follow the regulative principles, is not fit for chanting Kirtana. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Vayavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. One who has not listened carefully to the instructions of the spiritual master is unfit for chanting or for preaching the cult of devotional service. One has to water the bhakti lata bij after receiving instructions from the spiritual master. So first we hear, and when we repeat what we have heard, that is kirtanam. We hear, that is shravanam, and when we repeat what we have heard, that is kirtanam. And Srila Prabhupada said of himself that his only qualification for becoming a disciple of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was that he liked to hear. He said even though he didn't understand everything that his Guru Maharaj said, whenever there was an opportunity, he would sit and listen to him. And he said that one who hears nicely will be able to speak nicely or preach nicely. So this is very important. We should not just receive the knowledge and keep it to ourselves, but we should repeat what we have heard. We should share the knowledge with others. That is the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, to be magnanimous. Srila Prabhupada told us the story of Ramakrishna and his disciple Vivekananda. reported by Vivekananda, that his so-called spiritual master told him to close his eyes, and that he would transfer his spiritual knowledge to him. And so by some touch, by some electrical current or whatever, he transferred his so-called spiritual knowledge to his disciple. And when his disciple opened his eyes, he saw that his spiritual master was weeping. And he asked, "Why are you weeping?" And his so-called guru replied, "Because I have given all of my knowledge to you, and I have none left." So, obviously, this is a very material conception of spiritual knowledge. He's thinking, if I have $10 and I give you $10, then I have nothing left. But spiritual knowledge is not like that. Srila Prabhupada said that if you have spiritual knowledge and share it with others, your knowledge increases. And to the contrary, if you have knowledge and you don't share it with others, if you just keep it to yourself, you become envious. So it's when one hears Shravanam, then he must repeat Kirtanam. And that is, that will, as Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master told him, that will be good for you, and that will be good for those who hear you and support you. So I'm going to take the opportunity to add a personal note, although it's really not meant just for me. But we met Srila Prabhupada. I met him in 1969, and you can say received the seed of the creeper of devotional service from him then. And then I watered it by hearing from him, reading his books, hearing from him personally. And then, as he taught us, we would repeat what we heard him say, often in speaking to others and sometimes in writing. From quite early, I would write articles for Back to Godhead magazine. And that is how we water the devotional creeper. So Srila Prabhupada himself directly instructed me to write, and many devotees also encouraged me to write and share what I had received from Srila Prabhupada, experienced with him and heard from him. And so that has come out now in the form of a book. It just came a few days ago. And the title of the book is Watering the Seed. And tonight we offer that book to Srila Prabhupada here on the Vyasasan. It happened to open, just, you know, had to open it, and it happened to open to a piece on book distribution, which I thought was very auspicious, because the first page of that article was, and I thought that was very auspicious, because Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual master were very anxious and eager that this message should be spread in the form of books. It was their highest priority to publish and distribute books. And New Dwarka traditionally has been a leader in book distribution and book publication. In fact, this book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, was published under extraordinary circumstances right here in New Dwarka. I mean, I think it's 17 volume series, but I think 14 or 15 were published within a matter of a few months. It was like unprecedented. And I've heard that Srila Prabhupada was or is in the Guinness Book of Records for writing and publishing books. So anyway, we are making this book available, Watering the Seed, if any of you want. I'll stay here. You can get copies, or you can get them at a book table outside, and I will. I'll stay here and I'll inscribe your book. Don't worry about prasad. Suhas Prabhu has assured me that there's plenty. But even then, of course you're not worried, but if you're just hungry, that's okay, you can go. I will stay here, and I'll be here when you finish prasad. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hare Krishna. Suhas Prabhu just...
Okay. Speaks about his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. It is a book about him